You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Yes, we have another election less than 5 weeks from today, April 1st, Wisconsin voting for who will take a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Brad Schimmel is running against Judge Susan Crawford, who joins us now on the phone. Judge Crawford, thank you so very much for joining us. Oh, wait, we put up the wrong picture. Apologies for that on our live stream. Calvin, can you switch that? There we go. Judge Crawford, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Jane.
Judge Crawford, I wanted to start off with this. Brad Schimmel, who is your opponent, has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers at the U.S. Capitol. He says that they weren't given a fair shot in court. At the same time, you are being accused of being soft on crime. How do you respond to that accusation?
Yeah, you know, I was really shocked to hear that Brad Schimmel, who, you know, really touts his law and order credentials, was making excuses and defending these, you know, this violent mob that stormed the Capitol and attacked Capitol police officers. So I think it just shows that, you know, his support for law enforcement is just on the surface. It's not something he really believes in. And, you know, I'm somebody who has deep experience as a prosecutor and later as a lawyer defending people in court and now as a judge. And I'm just astonished at Brad Schimmel's defense of those people. And then even he went so far as to say he had no objection to President Trump's blanket pardons of everybody involved in that insurrection. So, I'm almost at a loss for words to comment on that.
Judge Crawford, you are being hit pretty hard, though, on some of the cases that you've ruled on in the past.
Yeah, you know, that's Elon Musk's money hard at work trying to distort my record on public safety. Those ads have, you know, all kinds of lies and misrepresentations in them. I'm proud of the work I have done both as a prosecutor and as a judge. I always put public safety first. I make sure I give crime victims rights. Protection in the process. And, you know, they're talking about cases where I sentenced people to several years in prison and long periods of supervision by the Department of Corrections afterward. Meanwhile, you know, we have reams of cases, dozens of cases where Brad Schimmel gave people no jail time or short jail time and released them for crimes like domestic violence and child abuse. And those people went on to reoffend. You know, that's the real test of a sentence is did those people go on to create new victims and hurt people again? And, you know, that's Brad Schimmel's record.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. Right before you joined us, we were talking about some of the January 6th attackers who received those blanket pardons. And a number of them had previous convictions or even current convictions involving rape and sexual assault. And as you said, sexual abuse of minors.
Yep. A lot of those folks were, repeat offenders. And it wouldn't shock me if those people go on to commit additional crimes now that they're back at large in the community. It's really a shame.
If you're just joining us, Judge Susan Crawford is joining us on the phone. She is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is on April 1st. And if you're not sure where to go, if you're not registered to vote, please take care of that. Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and that will tell you what's on your ballot, who all of your elected officials are, how you can contact them, etc. I also wanted to talk, Judge Crawford, about the 1849 abortion ban, which right now is on hold in Wisconsin. But it also seems like Brad Schimmel is very much in favor of that law, which, if I understand it correctly, only has exceptions for the life of the mother, but even that comes with some caveats.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Brad Schimmel has said repeatedly that he thinks there's nothing wrong with that law and it should be fully enforced. And like you said, no exceptions for things like rape or incest or even sexually abused children in that law. And, you know, as I've been out campaigning, I have had doctors and midwives and women approach me and tell me really personal stories about women who were forced to go out of state for health care while that law was briefly in effect before the judge put it on hold. And those are scary stories. You know, these are women who were having a crisis in a pregnancy and needed health care, and they were unable to get it in their own state and had to be transported to, you know, Minnesota or Illinois or wherever. And that's, you know, that has to be concerning to every voter in Wisconsin. And I say every voter, not every woman, but every voter in Wisconsin should be concerned that a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court thinks that that's no problem.
And I think it's important, Judge Crawford, that folks also understand that just because this 1849 ban is on hold right now, that doesn't mean that the full range of services are available all over the state of Wisconsin. We had a guest on earlier this week, young married woman with a wanted pregnancy who had complications. I believe it was in the second trimester. She had to wait almost 24 hours before she was able to get the care that she needed, and she developed sepsis and now is having problems conceiving and having another wanted child.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's just story after story like that. You know, I was talking to an OBGYN the other day who told me that before the 1849 ban was put on hold, that they literally had patients who were, you know, lying in a hospital bed in a critical condition while the doctors are in a huddle, you know, talking about, you know, is it close enough to her losing her life?
Yeah.
Can we take action? Because they're concerned about liability. You know, doctors and hospitals are really worried about liability, and they're, you know, they're not going to rush into something. So that, you know, that's one of the problems with these laws that make an exception only for the life of the mother, is how close to death are you going to let the woman get before you give her healthcare services?
It is.
So
we've
heard those stories over and over, and that's where we're at, and that's the result of the Dobbs decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that took away almost 50 years of constitutional protections that women could rely on.
We were just accused by a listener of citing an outlying case of this Laurel, who joined us this week. This is not an outlier. This is happening in emergency rooms. Good heavens, we've talked about cases where women have been bleeding out in the parking lots of emergency rooms because they're not close enough to dead yet to get health care.
Exactly. And I've had healthcare providers, as I said, approach me and tell me those stories themselves. And, you know, it is, you know, somebody saying this is an outlier. Well, how many women are you going to let die? How many outliers before you do something about it? You know, and Brad Schimmel, you know, one other thing with his position, he said, oh, we could have a referendum, put it to the voters.
Yeah.
Well, Wisconsin law doesn't allow that. We don't have a way to just let voters directly decide on an issue like abortion rights in Wisconsin. You know, that's why it's in the courts. And he wants to sort of pass the buck and say, you know, let the voters determine this in a referendum, which is impossible, or let the legislature decide this. And again, the legislature has shown no interest in it, and that's why it's in the courts.
We were talking about this before you joined us, and essentially it's his way to make himself look reasonable. Like, I just want to do what the voters want, and all we have to do is have a statewide referendum, even though that is not a thing that exists in Wisconsin.
Exactly. Yeah, he is trying to run away from his record. He has been a long time opponent of abortion rights, dating back to at least 2012 when he signed on to a Wisconsin Right to Life white paper that said, you know, when Roe versus Wade is overturned, that 1849 law will go into effect. He was advocating for that way back then. Then as Attorney General, he was fighting to defend unconstitutional restrictions on abortion rights in Wisconsin, and not just in Wisconsin, but he was trying to defend unconstitutional restrictions on abortion rights even in other states, wading into litigation in other states to argue against women's reproductive health care rights. So he's got a long, long record on this issue. Hired a top lawyer into the Wisconsin Department of Justice, who we now know was part of the conservative legal movement that developed a legal strategy to overturn Roe versus Wade. And now he's saying, Dobbs, just send it back to the states and maybe there can be a referendum. This is a problem of Brad Schimmel's own making. This is what he wanted to see happen, is for women to lose this constitutional protection. And, you know, now he's trying to run away from that record.
I think we played a clip of him talking, and he asked the question, where is the flaw? How is this wrong? And to ask the question of a 19th century law, what's flawed with that? Looking back now, 100, almost 200 years later, to not even look at the language and say, what's wrong with this? That says a lot about who he is. And just the fact that he doesn't know that the people can't vote on a binding referendum.
He knows that.
I mean, or to play up that is just absolutely. Yeah.
Judge Crawford, we're just about out of time. I know a lot of folks are wondering when you're going to take the gloves off and start running some ads and getting out in front of some of these attacks on you.
Yeah. You know, we've got more ads coming, and I'll defend my record any day. Like I said, I've always been about the safety of the community, and, you know, we're going to fight off the lies paid for by Elon Musk. And you know why Elon Musk is in this. He thinks that Brad Schimmel is, going to be his bag man on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And that's something that Brad Schimmel's really familiar with.
Judge,
he once called himself Scott Walker's bag man back when he was Attorney General, and he's willing to sell out justice to the highest bidder.
Just one more thing. Do you promise not to have commemorative coins if you're elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and spend $10,000 of our taxpayer money on those?
Absolutely. I will make that promise here and now.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, James.
Judge Susan Crawford on the phone. Thank you so much for your time, Judge Crawford. Really, really appreciate it. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Calftini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, the Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, joining us. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flipping Your Wig edition. It's a good one. You may want to stick around for that. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is here. Good morning. I know you're sad, Brittany.
I am.
I know.
I'm so sad. I have been crying just as much as the snow has been melting across the state, honestly.
That's a lot. I talked to a doctor.
I want to.
You're a winter weather fan. You're all into the winter sports and snowmobiling and cross-country skiing and all those things. And yeah, those opportunities just kind of went whoosh.
Yep, they are gone. Just as fast as they got here, they melted away. I mean, we're just a muddy mess up north now. I know it is down south as well, but I mean, we went from 12 inches of snow on the ground to just some piles now, you know, the plowed piles that are lingering. Some shaded areas in the woods still have a little bit of snow, but even far up north, Hurley, Wisconsin, only has 4 inches on the ground, so all snowmobiling done, skiing, everything, like you said.
Well, the Berkey got off okay, which is a good thing. The Birkebeiner got to do a regular run this year as opposed to last year. But I was kind of surprised. I know in the Milwaukee area in southeastern Wisconsin, we didn't get nearly the snow that you did. But even looking around my neighborhood, all I could think of was most of it got absorbed. And that shows me just how far behind we are as far as moisture is concerned.
Yes, absolutely. 50% of the state as of early last week was in a moderate drought. So half of the state needed this melt. They needed the precipitation. And we definitely have more on the way. So it's not going to stop here. And we're entering, you know, as these seasons shift, the flooding season.
Yes.
It's a whole nother bucket of concerns headed our way.
So what is coming? What are we looking at? Today is Thursday. What are we looking at for the weekend and then even into early next week? Because I know you don't like to forecast too far out.
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest concern right now is the lakes, the Great Lakes, honestly. We're going to see some winds, very, very feisty, gusting up to about 40 to 50 miles per hour on land. This is going to start overnight tonight and through tomorrow.
All across Wisconsin?
It's breezy. Yes. So we're going to see some potentially wind advisories going out. We could see some power outages. So the brutal winds will have to battle. But here's the thing. We went from ice coverage on the lakes to a rapid melt. I mean, they lost like 20% of ice coverage. So everything's broken up and melting. And then you're going to get these waves. There's gale watches and warnings on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. And if you think about them climbing up to 10 feet high, moving those ice sheets around, we're looking at potentially some damage that could happen along lake shores. So Lake Michigan tomorrow morning will be your biggest threat, but then the winds shift. And then it turns to the south shore of Lake Superior tomorrow afternoon and through those evening hours. So lakeshore areas, kind of looking out for that ice, kind of moving in and shoving on shore. That's going to be the next thing. And then also river areas. We have all of this melt that just melted, all this precipitation. Takes a minute for it to get to the river basins. They're starting to swell. So right here in Wausau, we're in an action level right now in the Wisconsin River. So we could see some flooding pretty soon. And I'm just watching those river gauges rise and rise across the state. I mean, the ground was still frozen. We still have frost about 15 to 32 inch depth out there. So this water's got to go into those rivers. And those ice chunks are going to break up and start floating down. And then they could get jammed and cause more flooding. So flooding season, guys.
It's, if you've never seen the impact of ice shoves, just do a Google search on it. For those of us who don't live along the lakeshore and, you know, along the shores of one of the Great Lakes, that can be massively destructive.
Yes, nothing stops them. They'll push houses right off their foundation if there's enough, and these winds are going to be strong enough.
Any more precipitation coming our way in the next week or so? Any more rain on the way?
So we're looking at a quick shot of light snow up north tonight, but other than that, we have a big cold front pushing through tomorrow, which is why it's going to get so windy. So that could spark up a few scattered showers or a few flurries with that as it moves through tomorrow afternoon. But then we're really keeping an eye on the bigger storm that hits Tuesday and into Wednesday next week. This one is going to pack a punch. It's got a lot of precipitation with it and moisture, and it could put down some snow accumulating into portions of the state. Now, of course, we don't know exactly where, because that thing is changing and bouncing everywhere. But it is going to hit Wisconsin, and we are looking at a good 1 to 2 inches of precip. So in the form of rain or in the form of snow, depends where you live.
And that's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep, and that's a big, massive amount of precip after we just melted all that snow.
Right,
so flooding is definitely going to be happening by next weekend in a lot of places.
I want to reiterate something. I think you mentioned on Pat's show last week that for the most part, and by your expertise and your wizardry work in weathering, we're out of the cold snaps. The deep freeze colds were moved past that point, and now it, you know, we're going to have those 30s and 40s days, but none of these 30 below zero days. And is that by your best judgment, is that where we're at?
Yes, I think we're out of that. No more deep freeze, Arctic cold blast, or anything like that. Now, again, temperatures going to be shifting. Even Saturday, we're going to be all below freezing in the 20s. So that's kind of the swing we're going to be going through as we go through the next few months. But no, pretty much major warm-ups and some mild cold snaps behind it is what we're looking forward to.
It's only, we're only at the end of February. We have all of March we got to get through yet. Mother Nature every once in a while likes to come in with one of those March storms And it's that really heavy, wet snow, which disappears in 2 days, but it's a major pain in the neck. So we're not completely out of the woods yet.
No, we're not. I see a couple of those in the future. So hang on tight.
She's smiling. She's happy.
Of course she's smiling. She's
inconvenient. Like Dr. Evil over here.
Inconvenient snow makes you happy.
Hey, it's my job.
That's right.
Give me something to do.
That's exactly.
Sunny
California, I couldn't do it. Nope, too boring.
How boring would Hawaii be for a meteorologist, right? Why bother?
No way.
Yeah, why bother? It's the same every day.
Until it's a hurricane and you're like, oh, it's going to get windy.
Keep an eye on the winds tonight and tomorrow, and especially if you've got big trees, the ground is pretty saturated, so that might cause some issues and maybe some power downed power lines as well. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media meteorologist for a little weather and wine. She joins us every Thursday. Thank you so much, Brittany. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We're going to talk all things sports with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the other side of the news. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Flipping Your Wig edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Our next guest joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning, friends. How are all of you?
We are good. Good to see you. Where would we like to start with sports balls? How about March Madness?
Oh, yeah, we're almost there, right? We are a couple days away from the start of March Madness. So a couple things to watch if you are a Wisconsin sports, Wisconsin basketball fan. The University of Wisconsin is kind of in this, they're really close to sewing up a chance to appear in Milwaukee. Milwaukee will be hosting games at Pfizer Forum here for the second time in 4 years, because they were here in 2022 as well. So I guess, yeah, second and four. Wisconsin was here last time. There is a process through which teams, you know, that do very well get some geographic preference, and the Badgers are in really good shape to play here. I still think, even after they had a really bad loss to Oregon a few days ago, where they let a big lead get away, it was just a very confounding loss, actually. They're still in really good position to do that. So they got to keep winning all the games they're supposed to. And there's a big game coming up against Michigan State. They could stand to win that too. That would be nice. That would probably guarantee it. It's not a guarantee right now, but it's pretty close to one. So that's something that I think people are going to be interested in. Marquette will not be in Milwaukee there, contractually not allowed to be as the host, but they've been slipping a little bit. They've had a rough go. They had a really convincing win over Providence on Tuesday night, so they're off the schneid to some degree, but it has not been a good second half of the season. So they're still in the national rankings. They're still in the 20s. But it remains to be seen exactly how far they're going to fall in these seeds. It was shaping up like they were going to be a 2 seed again this year, and that's not going to happen now. So that's interesting. And UW-Milwaukee is, you know, the Horizon League where both UWGB and UW-Milwaukee play is there's chaos usually in the tournament. It could be really any team. Milwaukee, I think, has the capability to win that tournament. They're not the top seed. They won't be favored. But they could easily sneak in as well. Also, that's almost certainly not a team that'll play in Milwaukee. Although that's not like ruled out, it's very, very unlikely. So So yeah, there's plenty to follow here if you're a basketball fan.
Do you bracket? And if you do, how much pressure is on you as a sports reporter to have like the best of brackets?
Do you even bracket, bro?
Am I a bracket bro? I am far too high culture for bracketing, of course. I do a player draft where I draft 10 players along with several of my friends, and most points wins at the end of the tournament. Last year, I had the number one overall pick. I got Zach Edey, that 7-foot monster for Purdue. I won. It was not of any volition of my own. I just won because I got lucky. But whatever. No, I think I envision a bracket. I don't enter any bracket contest usually, only because I can throw in a bunch of caveats that, and this is true, nobody knows how this is going to go. Like, no one can predict the future in the NCAA tournament. It is always random, always wild. It usually shakes out at the end that teams that are in the Final Four certainly deserve to be there, but it might not be the top four teams in the tournament. In fact, it almost never is the top four teams in the tournament. So it is a complete inexact wild science. You know, every radio interview, I can give you a matchup. I could tell you who the, you know, like whether or not they match up favorably or whatever, but like they could lose by 20 points. You have no way of knowing. So it's a very humbling experience, whether or not you're a sports guru.
Well, and to me, that's one of the best things about the NCAA tournament is the fact that someone who you never expected could come and pull this off comes in and does the big upset. I think that's a beautiful thing. And then for people like me, who fill out their brackets depending upon uniform color, and if I like the name of the mascot, you know, then I have a better chance as well.
My daughter did fill one out last year based solely on which mascot she preferred. She's 10 years old. She did not fare better than me in this particular instance.
Okay, all right, it's fine. But wow.
I just want to be clear, but she easily could, right? Like and now that we have had a couple instances where 16 seeds beat the one seed. That was like the last frontier of normalcy where you could rely on, no matter what happens, the one seeds are always going to beat those 16 seeds in the first round. Well, now it's happened twice that a 16 seed has beaten the one. So now nothing is safe. There's just nothing you could predict. Pretty likely the one seed's going to win, but you know, there's really no way to know for sure. It's all crazy.
But here's what we can report to you right now, folks. Breaking news. J.R. Radcliffe is better than his daughter.
Let's go. That's right. What now, Lydia?
Bring it, kid. Bring it, 10-year-old.
I think that's how you advertise the NCAA tournament. You'd be like, hey, your team could win it all or not. CBS Sports.
I mean, this is one of the big problems with college basketball in general is you have a lot of people asking somewhat fairly, why do I watch all these months of regular season when the only thing that matters is the series of coin flips that happens in mid to late March? Yeah. Like, I totally get that. I mean, like I said, at the end, the top four teams are almost always teams that did not luck their way there. Either they were a lower level team that really played at an elite level, or they're just really good teams. I think Wisconsin could be one of those teams. Like, that's the thing about it is this Badgers team is this Oregon loss is so frustrating because it falls in line with other previous like late season Badgers reminders that, oh, they're not that good, but this team is really good. I think this was just a weird one-off loss that they lost in overtime. Like, so many crazy weird things had to go wrong. I think this team is good enough and avoids the lulls that, unfortunately, this game was an example of, but typically avoids those offensive lulls that have haunted past Badgers teams. I think this is a really good Wisconsin team. I think they're very much a candidate to go to the Final Four, and it would not hurt to have the first two games in, you know, in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Unquestionably hard as an audience.
The city would be insane on fire.
You bet. J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. Let's move on to the Bucks. And what is going on?
Well, they've been okay lately. They're finally getting healthy. They lost on Tuesday to Houston. I found that game, I found it encouraging because I think they played really, really good defense against a really good team on the road. They did only score 12 points in the fourth quarter, which is really quite bad. They only gave up 15, which was quite incredible. But 12 points. I mean, they missed a lot of shots that I think they probably would make if they took the same shots again. You know, for them, it is just about getting healthy. And they are in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference among playoff teams. They're like in the 4-5s. Don't really want them to get lower than that because then they get into this play-in part of the tournament where they're going to wind up having to really sing for their supper and win games just to get in to face the really good teams. You don't want that. That would be that. So that requires them to get a top six seed. I think they're probably going to get that pretty safely. The Pistons are on fire. That's a problem. The Bucks are back and forth with the Pacers. those teams are going to kind of be competing for the same terrain at this point. So if you are a Bucks fan late in the season, cheer against Detroit and against Indiana. That might be against your instincts of similar size markets that you normally cheer for, but like those are the bad guys right now. And I do think as Giannis is getting past this minutes restriction after he dinged up his calf a little bit, Damian Lillard, I think, looks pretty good. Maybe not as good as we've seen him, but really good. And, you know, Kyle Kuzma is up and down a little bit, but he's the new guy is fitting in with those two guys. And I think it's going okay for them. I still don't see this team as like a deep playoff team. I haven't seen anything that convinces me otherwise, but I do think this is a pretty good version of them. Really good game on Thursday against Denver. That's at Pfizer Forum, and that's five of the, you know, between Nikola Jokic and Giannis, you got five of the last six MVP trophies. So that's pretty sweet. If he does indeed play, which there's no reason to think he won't, Nikola Jokic, that'd be really cool. So if you've got nothing to do tonight, that'd be a cool thing to do. Go check out the Bucks.
So I have a question that kind of broken into a couple pieces, and it's a basketball question. So you're welcome, listeners. There is always rumors about if this Bucks team doesn't do well this season, that Giannis might look other places to be. I don't know. Start there. I don't know how true that is. Then on top of that, how good do the Bucks have to do? And I'm saying take a championship out of the running, but how good do they have to do for him to say, nope, I'm going to stay here? And if they just peter out in the first round, does he say, I'm going
to go.
Look my options?
So Lori Nickel, my colleague, did a really cool two-part series on Giannis. One landed today, one yesterday. So I really encourage, if people are interested, it was a really candid interview and really tried to get into the psychology of how Giannis would answer this question, you know? And I do think national media has a little bit of a I'm trying to use an appropriate word here. They really like talking about this. They're really into moving Giannis to another team, more so than I would say comparable superstars. I don't ever really understand that relative. Like I can understand if it's, you know, you just don't get this for Jokic, who plays for Denver, you know, like if you want to, that's not a powerhouse market. I don't know why people aren't saying, when is Jokic going to move? Yeah, they won a championship, but when is he going to go to New York or LA, you know? And all I can think of is there's two things about Giannis. One, he does play in Milwaukee, which is not a powerhouse, you know, by national standards, powerhouse market. And two, he likes to talk. He answers these questions and he talks about it and he entertains the possibility that someday he will want to move on. And Lori, I think, really did a good job kind of going in there. Like he can't say to himself, I'll never want to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like he does say, which I appreciate because this is true. Milwaukee is lucky that Giannis didn't know better when he was a young kid, that he came to the United States, saw this as like this amazing land of opportunity, even though it was really cold in the winters and small by other city standards. Like he didn't know any better. And he grew to love this place and he developed a connection with this place. And he's loyal and he doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to leave. And he has said that over and over and over and over and over. Like he wants to be here.
Yeah.
The only thing that could happen, and it isn't even like about wins and losses or where they fall in the playoffs. Like if it gets to a point where it's clear the Bucks cannot contend for a championship, they might not even be a playoff team. Now I think that's where he's probably going to start talking about elsewhere. But financially, the way that the salary cap works, this is the most lucrative situation for him to stay here. The NBA has really built in rules that make it such that certain, you know, your current team can pay you more than a new team. It's complicated, but he can make more money here. He is beloved here.
Yes.
Right now can still win a championship. You know, as long as Damian Lillard is healthy at this level, like he's in his 30s, but he's not going to be 38 tomorrow or anything. Like he's still capable of playing at a very high level. I think the Bucks are going to retool a little bit this offseason and maybe we'll see a sort of renewed emphasis on a championship caliber team. But, you know, as far as we know, that's everything he said. Giannis really, really, really does want to be here. He can't throw away the possibility of playing somewhere else, but you know, this is his home. So I think Bucks fans should feel comforted.
Okay. That,
good. All right. Good. We got about 3 minutes left. The NFL Combine. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I had a really good time last year. I got to go for the first time. I loved it, but that is such an insular media thing to say because it is such a weird pseudo event to bring in all these players from around the country to Indianapolis and have them like do interviews and run drills. Essentially, it's very weird. I think really only true NFL heads are into this, like people who really just get into the draft to the nth degree. It's not
the casual fan.
Yeah, I don't think it's a casual fan thing, but I really would encourage people to go to jsonlinepackersnews.com because Tom Silverstein is there, and he's written some really interesting stuff. This is a good chance for him to sort of meet with people associated with the Packers and agents and things like that. And, you know, there are some serious questions about whether or not Jair Alexander will be back next year. That kind of looks like maybe a divorce is on the horizon, and it's just a question of whether the Packers can trade him or if they have to let him go, like how that's going on. So there's a lot going on there. And you know, and then there are some intriguing prospects to talk about, but you know, there's so many of them, it's impossible to know which ones will ultimately matter. So it's a little bit of a meat market. It's hard to wrap your arms around. But I had a good time. I loved it.
Well, that's what matters, JR. That's what matters. Calvin, you get the last word on this before we gotta let JR go.
Well, I was just gonna make a hot take or prediction that the NFL Combine might be a thing of the past in the near future. A number of the top prospects have the past years, it's been increasing the amount, decide to sit out of the drills at the combine and just participate in the physicals and interviews.
Yes, that is not a novel take. It's a great take. I'm sorry, I don't mean to disparage it. But yes, a lot of people are saying this as well. They feel like it is dying. And it might be. You're absolutely right. Most of these guys, like the big names, they know they're going top 10 in the draft. They're not gonna do that. But right. I think those interviews and physicals are still important. Like, teams really value that stuff, the like face-to-face stuff, even as short as it is. So I still think it has a place, especially if they send me, but I'm not positive. We'll
That's
see.
What
we'll
it's
see.
About. Send J.R. Radcliffe. If he's not there.
Send his daughter.
send his daughter.
That's great. No, she can't come. If I'm going there for a week, it is without my family. I mean, I love my family, but like it's me and the steakhouse in Indianapolis. That's what I want.
Read J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll see you in a couple. Thanks a lot, J.R. Stay with us. This shouldn't be a thing on the way next. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, I will be not here.
What?
I will be at home. We're having some of work done on our furnace.
When was I going to find out about Calvin? Why am I the last one to find out things like this? Who's hosting? Are you getting one of them, day jobber guys to come
in? One of the young kids, the youth. Greg will be hosting. Greg will be sitting in the big chair. Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor.
Well, I'm okay with that.
There you go. And Calvin will be here as well. But yes, I will be back on Monday. So join us tomorrow with Greg in the big chair. Again, we have, I'm looking forward to having more intake vents put in on our first floor. It should be very, very exciting. I'll make sure and do a big TikTok video on it or something.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
That'll really put Matt Nair on air on the radar of the youngs. I'm trying. Giving it a shot.
You're getting there.
Right? We're so close. 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. This from CBS News. Headline reads, man tried to smuggle about a dozen bags of cocaine under narco wig, according to Colombian police. Bogota, Colombia police say they apprehended a 40-year-old man trying to smuggle cocaine concealed beneath his meticulously attached toupee. Mm. The man detained at Cartagena's airport earlier this week. He was heading to Amsterdam. A scanner revealed the hidden cargo under his hair. 220 grams of cocaine packaged in small bags, strategically placed under what they're calling a narco wig. The street value of the drugs estimated about $10,500. Organized crime groups are exploiting young people, falsely suggesting they can easily get through security and then be the mules, which is essentially what they are. Didn't work in this case.
I saw the wig.
Yes.
It, just the idea, like, are you a drug mule on the go? Try narco wig. What was your first, how did you know? What was your first clue? Well, you look like a conehead because $10,000 of coke on someone's skull looks a little weird.
Little extra height there.
Yeah,
extra height.
Exactly.
A video released earlier this week captured the moment an officer wearing gloves carefully removed the suspect's wig with scissors, revealing approximately a dozen packets of cocaine. Further statements have confirmed the suspect's prior criminal record, shocker, including two previous drug trafficking convictions. A report out last year found that the cultivation of cocoa bushes increased by 10% in Colombia in 2023, cocaine production up 53% from the previous year. This is not the first time this has been tried, though. In 2019, a Colombian man arrested in Spain after they found a pound.
What?
A pound of cocaine hidden under his toupee. Here's the kicker. He attracted officers' attention because he was considerably nervous, and officers said his wig was of disproportionate size.
That's what I'm talking about!
After questioning the man, they found a perfectly sealed package taped to his head containing 1.1 pounds of cocaine worth about $34,000. So, didn't work out well.
I just like the term narco wig.
Narco wig. There's a whole market for that, apparently.
Yeah. I just see a 1970s commercial with a guy in a leisure suit. Like, do you need a hair system, but also need a way to transport your cocaine? Try narco wig. Glist, 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 glist.
There's potential there.
There you go.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up after the news, we have Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba lightening things up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't forget Native Roots Radio, also across the network. And then tomorrow morning, Pat Kreitlow is finally back.
What?
I know. Pat Kreitlow back for Up North News Radio from 6 to 8. And catch Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Again, Greg will be here tomorrow along with Dan Schaefer and Calvin as well. Stay with us. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the next couple of days and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.